So we're continuing, from what I understand, in the Ten Commandments, right? And we're doing the fourth commandment. The numbering's a little funny, because we number the Ten Commandments differently than some other church denominations. I don't know if you've heard this yet. Have you heard this? No. So we split up 9 and 10, even though they're both about coveting. Other folks split up the first commandment, where they say, you shall have no other gods, and you shall have no idols, right? No graven images. So they make two commandments out of that. So what's the numbering then? It's kind of weird. I'm not trying to throw your pastor off or under the bus or anything. But I believe, actually, that the Hebrew that they use for the Ten Commandments is not commandments. It's not the word that's used. It's actually the ten words, the Devarim, right? The ten words. And what's the first word of the ten words? If you look in Exodus 20, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. That's the first word. God gets the first word, right? See that? And then you don't have to worry about splitting up the other commandments. But here we are. Luther kind of just kept it this way. We keep it this way. I think it's just, we've kept it this way for so long. We're just going to keep it this way from here on out. But just a little thing to think about, right? God getting the first word as to who's doing what. Because then it makes all the other nine commandments about ways that we serve God and our neighbor in response to what God has done for us, right? Cool. So you may or may not have seen this or experienced this. I'll tell a little story. So it's a Sunday morning. I got two daughters, 13 and 9. And not every Sunday morning goes very smoothly, right? Sometimes it's a little hard for me to get out of bed, I'll admit it. Sometimes it's hard for my kiddos to get out of bed. And then you got to make breakfast. So you make breakfast, and then they don't want it. They'd rather eat something else. Like, no thanks. Like, I'm not making, I'm not a restaurant, right? That's the phrase we use. This isn't a restaurant. There's no menu. Like, you got to eat it. It's made. Like, this is what you get. So already you're getting some strife first thing in the morning. And then you got to get them, because, you know, for my girls, right, you got to brush their hair. And that's a struggle. They got to brush their teeth. They got to get ready. They got to get dressed. They got to get all these things ready to go. And they take forever. Forever. What are you doing? Go get ready. And then getting them in the car is a wrestling match. You're struggling. And my oldest has special needs. So when she doesn't want to do something, it becomes very, very difficult to move her. She'll just plop down, and you try to pick her up, and she's like this sack of potatoes, you know. It's just, and she's not light. So you get her in the car, and you're sweating, and your clothes are wrinkled now, and everyone's frustrated, and then you start driving to church. And of course, there's this thing in the back seat, right, that thing that comes up and down for cup holders or whatever, and one wants it down, and the other wants it up. And they start doing this thing, boom, boom, boom. And they start fighting, and they're hitting each other. It's like trying to get to church, and everyone's struggling. Finally, we get to church, and you got to get everybody there. And we're already late, so I'm stressed out. My wife's stressed out. We're trying to keep them from fighting. And we get to church, and we drag everybody in, and we're like 5-10 minutes late. So now we're thinking about what everyone else is thinking about, us coming in late to church. And I'm all wrinkled and sweaty. Have you experienced this before? Yes, I. The joys of family, right? And this is all trying to get to church. We're trying to get to the place where we're going to hear about Jesus and eternal life and forgiveness. And here we have this commandment. Honor your father and mother. If I'm driving, I turn around and say, don't forget the fourth commandment. Right? Think it's going to work? but it's worth the struggle. It's worth it. Because here in this place, we are fed. We are fed with the stuff that gives us eternal life. It's the stuff that lasts forever. There's a lot of things out in the world. This is one of the things that you can take with you, even if you die. So in this commandment, as we look at the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother, there's some really interesting and neat stuff in here that I love about this commandment. So it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Just a little side note, if you have your Bible or your text in front of you on your phone or whatnot, whenever you see Lord in all caps, it's the Hebrew word Yahweh in the Old Testament. Whenever you see it in all caps. Oh, I could go off on a tangent there, but that's not the sermon. So, just an interesting tidbit. Whenever you see L-O-R-D, all capital letters, it's the name Yahweh. So, again, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So, honor your father and mother. So, there's a transition. In Commandments 1 through 3, there's this vertical aspect, right? You shall have no other gods. Don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. And remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, right? There's this vertical element of Commandments 1 to 3. Once you hit 4, it hinges, it shifts. And now it's between you and your neighbor, right? Jesus actually summed it up, all the Ten Commandments. He summed it up. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, which they call the golden rule. They kind of missed the first half of it, but that's all right. Love God, love neighbor. Jesus summed it up. And the fourth commandment becomes this shifting point from those first three commandments to how we treat one another. And it starts with the parents. Honor your father and mother. This is a good work. This is a holy work. It is pleasing to God. What do I mean by that? If you're looking for something to do to serve God, you can do this. It's that simple. I didn't say easy, but it's simple, right in front of us. If we want to do what God wants, then we can do something as simple as honoring our father and mother. Now, it's not blind obedience, right? If your mom tells you to do something that goes outside of God's will, then don't do that. Because then you're not honoring anybody. So you have this beautiful, easy way, not easy, sorry, simple way to serve God by honoring your father and your mother. I'm looking for children. Got some littles out there. What it says in the commandment for our children, or for we who are children, it doesn't say love your father and mother. It says honor. There's a difference. We are called to love everyone, right? But in this commandment in particular, there's something about honor. When we honor somebody, we look at them as special, different, right? Honor often comes with authority. And so here, what's interesting is the parents become the representatives of God. Remember that first three commandments between us and God, and this fourth commandment is a hinge. It's taking God and representing him on planet Earth through your parents. They're given a position of authority that you could almost say is next to God. This is why it deserves honor. even if sometimes they're not great parents. Because it's not the person, it's the position. That's what we honor. And it's that person that is in the position that receives it. All right? Does this make sense? Everyone following? Tracking? Good? Honor your father and mother. It's a beautiful commandment. And it comes with a blessing. You do this, you're going to live a long time. You honor your father and mother, things are going to be okay. It comes with a blessing from God. If you do this, you will receive long life. That's pretty cool. More on that. To parents, you represent God to your children. How is that going? I sometimes make it hard for my children to honor their parents. I'll admit it, because I'm a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad sinner. Like everybody else in this room. And I need help. Does that make what I do as a parent less honorable? Again, it's not the position. It's not the person. It's the position. God creates this beautiful thing. And it started, really, in the garden, didn't it? Were there any commandments in the garden? What do you think? Did God tell Adam and Eve to do something or not to do something? Be fruitful and multiply. Do it. Go have kids. Subdue the earth. Don't eat that fruit. These are commandments, aren't they? At what time have they turned off? Have they stopped being God's will? They haven't. We still should be expected to have children, to subdue the earth as God's creation. We take care of it. We inspect it and enjoy it and learn about it. And there's no chance for us to eat that fruit, I guess. Parents were from the beginning. And this commandment connects us to that. And we heard about from 1 Timothy what Paul has to say. We consider other people like our parents. Older men, treat them like a father. Older women, treat them like a mother. I've heard it said that it takes a village to raise a family, and it's wrong. That's not the right statement. It takes a family to raise the village. Because once you mess up the family system, it affects everything else. Luther's, it's interesting, when he goes over this commandment, he connects certain things. He says some things come from the parents, including government. Government gets their authority from the permission of the parents. It's not the other way around. So when your child goes to school, that teacher is getting that permission from the parents to teach. The authority is the parents' authority. They're allowing this person to teach their child. Police, whatever, these all derive their authority from the family, from the parents. That's where it starts. Because this position that requires honor from the children is coming from God. And they're his representatives. So the way Luther explains it, the way we understand it, is you have parents in multiple ways. You got parents by blood, right? You got parents by authority. And you got spiritual parents too, right? Like someone like this, doing what I'm doing now. All of these things come from God's authority. And he works through people to do his will. We can kind of see the family as almost like a representation of the Trinity in a way, right? I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is like the wife or something like that. But there's something about the family that has a closeness, right? There's a connection. The son served the father, right? We get the ultimate example of honoring your father by Jesus and what he did. He sets aside his position of authority and glory and beauty, and he's born to Mary and Joseph. Little baby. He grows up, you get it in Luke, right? Luke's gospel talks about how they're leaving Jerusalem, the family's leaving Jerusalem. They're like, where's Jesus? And they go looking for him. Where do they find him? In the temple. And what does he say? Of course I'm going to be in my father's house. Where else would I be? And then it says he obeyed his parents after that. So he honored Joseph, he honored Mary, but more than anything, he honored his father in heaven. And when he's dying on the cross, and he looks down, he's dying, and he sees Mary, and he still takes care of her. Because he tells John, who was with her, this is now your son. And he says, son, this is your mother. Right? Still from the cross, honoring, doing God's will. Why would he do that? He dies for disobedient children. Oh, man. If you told me when I was 18 that I would be a pastor and a chaplain, I would have thought you lost your mind. I was a punk. Sneaking out, right? I'm not going to put any thoughts in anybody's minds, but I was not in a good place as a son. To the point where my dad said, you know, that thing, right? If you live under my roof, you live under my rules. So what did I do? I threw everything in my truck and I left. And I called my buddy and said, can I live with you? I wanted to live under my own rules. Yeah, Jesus definitely died for me. I sent him to the cross. I think we can all say that. He died for lazy parents. It's easier sometimes to just not do the thing. maybe we can sleep in on a Sunday, get 2 extra days to rest. This is a fight that I don't want to have, but I know I need to. Because it's good for the child. Jesus died for disobedient children. He died for lazy parents. He died for sinners. That's why he died. It was his Father's will, because he loves us. Jesus Christ has come here today, this morning, and he changes us. We are today changed. Because today we are forgiven. And when you taste the bread and you drink the wine, you're tasting a little flavor of eternity. And you can go home to your calendar and you mark October 5th. 2025 is the day that I received eternal life. Life that promises that my sins are forgiven. The times that I was lazy, the times that I should have been a better father, better husband, better citizen. All those things I tasted were wiped away, gone forever. God comes here this morning and he pokes a hole in space and time, and we get to see somehow, by faith, all of heaven here, right now. Sometimes you hear the phrase with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, and we think maybe for some of us whose parents have passed away, we miss them. But you know, when you come to the rail, they're here with us, because Jesus says, where 2 or 3 are gathered, there I am. And the church is also called what? The body of Christ. Something's going on here that absolutely blows my mind, that I don't understand. When you come to receive the gifts of Christ's body and blood in bread and wine, you are honoring your father and mother who have passed away, and you are with them. And you honor your father in heaven, who you were made a child of by Christ. That's awesome. So as we have these families in here, as you see your parents or you see your children, they're an opportunity for us to serve God. And we have the opportunity to be served, to honor God. But it's also a reminder. It's a pointer finger that points to Christ, the Son, who died for us to honor his own Father. What a beautiful commandment to take the first 3 and bring it into the world so that it sets up the rest. This 4th commandment, honor your father and mother, is so beautiful. And it's so packed. And there's so many other things that I could talk about it. But I'll let you discover that. It is good to honor our father and mother. And we're going to mess it up. We already have. But that's why we're here. And in this place, we reunite with all of the saints. We honor God. We receive the gifts of the Son. And it changes our lives forever. So honor your father and mother. It's good. And receive the gifts of Christ today. Amen.